I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, the world's leading number one radio station for all things health. We are available on podcast also, on Apple, Google, Android, whichever way you get your podcasts. We are here to serve you. How are you doing? I hope the sun is shining where you are because it's shining where I am. And you too, remember that you are blessed and highly favoured, a magnet for miracles, the solution to somebody's problem and the answer to someone's prayer. So Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And this week we are talking about health, and I'm going to look at health from a holistic perspective and speak to the women and the men that love them. I always speak to the men that love them because it's really important. It's all aspects of female health. Studies are now showing that by 2040, in 17 years' time, less than 17 years' time, because we're already halfway through this year, that one in five people will be sick. They're saying, if I read you the statistics, they're quite frightening, but we have to now look and see what we can do to change that around. And I also want to talk about two females, women who may identify with what I'm going to talk about from my own experience. I want to know what labels on my head or what vibe I put out. It doesn't matter how sassy, sexy, 60 I look or how sexy I look. If you are a man with a ring on your finger or you've left your wife at home, please don't come and talk to me and tell me how great I look and ask for my phone number. It's ridiculous. I'm not dating a married man. I'm a wife in waiting, not waiting for another wife's husband to show shade or to come and look at me because, you know, things at home aren't working great for you. Go back home and make them work really well. I am a coach that can help your wife, and I am a coach that transforms lives and saves relationships, so I can help you to improve the relationship you have. But I'm not the person that's going to interrupt the relationship you've got or distract you because I look good and you feel that your wife hasn't looked after herself. That's not me. If you feel that that's what you're also experiencing, let's have a conversation. So, I want to start off by talking about this report, right? So this has come out, came out on the 19th of July, a study, and it says UK gripped by sickness explosion, costing the economy £15 billion a year. So it was estimated that between 2022 to 2023, we spent £15 billion. £15 billion. That's just madness. On poor health. But what they're showing now is that the number of people living with major disease in just over 15 years will reach 9.1 million. Going from almost one in six adults in 2019 to nearly one in five. Now, 80% of the 2.5 million increase will be people aged 70 or over, as the baby boomers reach old age and life expectancy increases. Listen to this now. This is the bit that I found really scary. Cases of dementia are expected to rise 45% by 2040. So in 16 and a half years, might as well say 16 and a half years, right? They're saying that there's going to be literally a 45% rise in cases of people losing their memory. We're going to talk about that. That's really important. Heart failure. Listen to this. Heart failure. By 92%. No heart, no life. Cancer. By 31%. Are you not running for charity all the time? Are they not raising money all the time? And the more money you raise, the more sick you get. Are you not asking questions yet? Diabetes, lifestyle induced, McDonald's and food junk masquerading as food that they put in front of you with these great adverts and tell you to treat yourself to sickness and diseases like diabetes by 49%. Chronic pain by 32%. And anxiety or depression by 16%. It's saying at the age of 70, people will have an average of three, not one, not two, but three long-term conditions, rising to more than five by the age of 85, researchers say. Now, listen, Like I said, at the end of the day, as a child of God, I know one thing. Man can say what he wants. God has the final say. That's number one. Number two, faith without works is dead. So I can have faith that I can have good health. But if I don't work towards it, I won't have it. Faith without works is dead. It's not going to happen. And so we've got to a point now where we have to pay attention. And people that don't pay attention. But you are paying. You're paying with your health. You can measure cost in many ways. But what is it costing you? And if this study is to be believed, and the fear goes into you, and the anxiety increases, and you walk into this stuff because you don't want to make any changes for yourself, that is going to be your experience. So they're setting themselves up to be able to make lots of money off you, given your combination cocktail of pills, counteracting each other and causing all sorts of problems. I read that study today and I just thought to myself, it's time for us to fix up, look sharp. Like I've always said, I've said it for so many times, your body is your business. Now, back in 2007, I started doing my first spoken word. It was just after my dad died and later on that year. So my dad passed sadly on the 4th of January 2007, 7:43 in the morning. I got the phone call, I always remember. I wrote this poem in September and I've done a bit on, if you see me on my Instagram post, I've done it a couple of times, just the first part of the spoken word. And it just flows and I just feel that it's an apt one to use today. For this week, for this topic, based on the sicknesses and conditions that I rebuke. Get behind me, Satan. You can't be talking to me, fearfully and wonderfully made. That is not my portion. This is what I'd love every member of my audience to say. Those statistics, you can't be talking to me. The devil is a liar. Get behind me, Satan. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, blessed and highly favored, and I rebuke it. I send it back to the pit of hell where it came from. That will not be my portion. That is not your portion, but only if you decide to do something about it. Doesn't have to be your portion. They say your body is your advert, and you know it must be true. Each day it tells a story, each day the story's new. You advertise your life, your health, and who and where you're at, and without a care for what it says, your advert could be flat. The health of all your organs, your cells and all within can be told as your story unfolds through your hair, your nails and skin. A healthy spine, strong bones and joints should be important too. They play their part in posture and the perception of you. Your teeth, your visual story, say most about who you are. And when they're great, when they're good, your story's great and people's views are fair by far. Dad always said, your hair's your beauty, so investment here is great. It shapes the face God gave you and plays its part in fate. A welcoming expression and great diction too can signify a confidence, the right attitude and self-esteem that will always elevate you. So before you pay no attention, step back and stop and think, because what you say and how you look should really be in sync. Your body is your advert. Make sure you advertise well. Like any other advert, you only reap from what you sell. So I wrote that in 2007. I'm reading it back to myself now and I'm thinking, my body's my advert. But it doesn't mean I'm advertising to married men. Come here. So get lost, married men. I'm only interested in my husband is going to find me and he's not married to somebody else. Okay. Anyway, so I wrote that in 2007 and I've read it a few times, but I haven't read it for a few years. I had to actually just try and dig it out on my laptop. And I think it really kind of expresses really like what we should consider. Because posture is a position from where all movement begins and ends. And if posture is compromised in any way, movement will be compromised, which means injury is more likely to happen. An injury can happen not just... There's the physical posture that we have to look at. That's a position from where all movement begins and ends. There is a nutritional posture that we need to look at, because that's the position from where health begins or ends. And when we look at this report and we look at these statistics and we consider these statistics and we look, we have to think to ourselves, a lot of these things are happening. I shared with you last week about my breathless breathing and breathless breather. When we look at the chakra system, when we start to really dig in and look at things in a different way, through a different lens, we get a whole different picture. So when we look at the chakra system and we look at the root chakra, it's linked to financial stress, and it's our safety and security blanket. It's our sex and relationships, right? Sex, relationships, money. That's the root chakra and the second chakra, the sacral, the around our reproductive system. So we have to look at those two chakras and realize they're really linked to, really our identity is locked in these. It's around our financial stress, so that's the related issues, is finance, right? But it's around sex and relationships. So the biggest drivers for most people is sex, relationships, and finance. They're the things that tear people apart. And our identity is locked into those things. So we look at what's happening there. Then we look at, you know, like the uterus is like the second heart for a female. So you rip out her uterus when you give a hysterectomy. You rip out part of her heart. You look at the things that are happening to her and through her in terms of her nutrition, in terms of her lifestyle, and you're able to see that many of these issues that we're talking about could be reversed. Now, it does talk about the increase, the excessive amount of alcohol that's being drunk by this country. We are actually, the UK, we keep saying we're Great Britain, but actually we seem to lead the way in having the poorest health in Europe. Now, that's really sad. Especially when you think about, like I said, with the cancers, there are so many charities asking for donations all the time. I do not believe there's no cure. It's absolutely impossible for there to not be something that can cure you when there's never been more money thrown at something in our lifetime, and yet still more people die from it and more people get sick because of it. It makes no sense. So then you have to start looking at, well, cancer is not an infectious disease. It's not something, as my son said, you can't catch it, but you can acquire it. So what are the factors that may contribute towards it? If you look at the body and you look at the composition of the body is literally the primary ingredient in the body is water. Now look at how much water, myself included, recently, I have not been drinking the water I should. Look at how much water you drink in a day. You drink in a week. You drink in a month. We're talking a rise in dementia expected to go up by 45% by 2040. One of the things I do know, and I said it to a friend of mine before her late mum passed away from Alzheimer's, is try to get your mum to drink water the minute you think she's being, or they're diagnosing her with Alzheimer's or dementia. Make water be her principal drink. Otherwise, she will not drink, because that thirst switch is switched off. She'll want something sweet. And so I did this with my family, with my mum, and she drinks more water than any of my brothers and sisters, and sometimes more than I do, because that's the one thing that we make sure she gets a litre and a half a day. And because of that, literally, that's all she drinks. Every now and again, she might get, my sister might give her a tiny sip of wine, or they might give her a cup of tea. But my mum's liquid intake is water. And that makes a significant difference. But if we dehydrate the brain, we're in trouble. So we have to be able to think to ourselves, well, what could I actually do that's going to make myself better? And it's funny, because we also get told to cut down on our salt, but not all salt is made the same. And on organic, like I use the organic grain Celtic sea salt, it's good, right? But you need to help to increase the water intake, even for those who are struggling with anxiety and depression, because it helps to increase the neurons in, like, within the hippocampus, the part of the brain responsible for memory and reasoning. And dehydration plays havoc on mental emotional stability, right? But you put a pinch of that salt into the water, and it will help to, because salt is essential for preserving the serotonin and the melatonin levels in the brain, right? So you put a pinch of that salt into the water, so that when water and salt can perform their natural antioxidant duties and clear the toxic waste from the body, we have essential amino acids that are not compromised. So one of the amino acids that we really need is called tryptophan. And tryptophan contributes to protein synthesis, the breaking down of protein, and regulation of many of the physiological workings within the body, right? And tyrosine is an essential component for the production of important brain chemicals. So we need these, right? That's the neurotransmitters, which help the nerve cells communicate and influence mood. But we don't want to sacrifice them to be chemical antioxidants to try and break down free radicals. We want them to do what they need to do, right? But when the body is well hydrated, then tryptophan can get into the brain tissue to help produce the happy hormone, serotonin and melatonin. So we need that, right? And so we have to look, so where do we get these from? Tyrosine and tryptophan, they're in foods. But you know, one of the best sources of tryptophan is whole milk. But if you're buying milk that's been pasteurized, it's non-organic, it's got all the antibiotics and all the other crap that they inject into the animals, then you're just getting rubbish. You have to get, if you're drinking milk, then you need to get raw milk. It's the best way to get it. But also, another place that's really good is canned tuna. But you can get it in oats and nuts and seeds and dark chocolate and chicken and turkey. Same with tyrosine. You can get it in chicken, turkey, peanuts, almonds. I'm just giving you a few places. Banana, pumpkin seeds, cottage cheese, you know. So when you look at nutrition and you look at brain function, you can see what happens. When you look at the brain being 74.5% water, you understand why it needs it. But in order for the body to get these amino acids that help production of serotonin, that help the brain and mood, the body needs to be hydrated. So they work together. So we start to look at foods and food groups and what we can do to improve that. Heart failure. Again, hydration. We look at the hydration of the body and the muscles. We look at the breath quality. But breath is compromised by anxiety. It's compromised by stress and tension. So at some point, somewhere along the line, when you say that you can live well with stress, you've got to kind of understand what the stress is actually costing you. So let's play a trail. When we come back on the other side, we're just going to try a breath technique, because it's really, really important for you to be able to ascertain if you are a breathless breather or a breathing breather.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So I hope you've taken stock of a few things I've just said there. And that this week is really like, let's just kind of look at ourselves and make a decision that the report that's out there, you're going to be another person. You're going to be a different person. You will not be one of those people with issues. So for me, sassy, sexy, 60. So I'm into my 61st year, right? So this November, I'll be 61. Now, the last thing I'm going to tell myself is that in 9 years from now, I'm going to be in lots of pain. Now, I will say, yesterday and this morning, I woke up in a lot of pain in my back, in my hips, sorry. And that would be because of the run, spin, cycle class, tennis. But it's not because of them. It's because what I've done over the last couple of weeks, I've been so busy that I have not been mobilizing before I start and then stretching when I finish. Mobilizing before I start and stretching when I finish, which means if I'm not mobilizing and actually preparing the body for movement and opening it up, I'm not moving from the best postural position. Because when we sleep, we're in flexion. When we sit down on chairs, we're in flexion. So I'm not allowing my body to be in the best postural position. I also know that as we get older and flexibility disappears, it's very important for me to make sure that mobilization is a mandatory standard part of my everyday. So I've been going to bed a little bit later. So I'm you're only as strong as you're honest. So I've not been following my own principles because I've been trying to do too many things. But I need to just restart and replan my day. Now I'm going to my mum's house this evening. I'm there for 3 days. That's going to interrupt my sleep because I have to wake up during the night to change her. So I get to bed when after the carers leave at 9:15. By 10 o'clock, we're in bed because I know that I have to then get up. But I've got to get up at 12, got to get up again at 4, get up again at 7. So for the next 3 nights, my sleep is interrupted. But what I will do is whilst I'm there is do my mobilizers in the morning. So when I wake her up at 7 and I change her for the last time and allow her to breathe before the carers come, I do my mobilizers, do my shower, and I'm ready for the carers in the morning. That is what I need to do. So when it comes to, like, I've written another spoken word on what's the point of pain. And the point of pain is to draw your attention to the fact that you're either neglecting to do what you need to do, or something needs your attention. So you're either neglecting to do what you need to do, as I said, if I'm not doing the mobilizer and I'm running straight onto a tennis court, I'm not warming my body up adequately. No tennis player plays a match without warming up properly, right? That just opens him up for injury potential, and that's what I'm doing. Jumping on the bike without doing the mobilizers, and then you've got a bag on your back, and I cycled 28.5 miles on Sunday after church. Lots of hills. I did it in 2 hours 40. Great timing, but I'm driving. Then I come back home, quick shower, put some heels on, and went off to the Roxy Soul Sound 50th anniversary, which was absolutely fantastic. Tell you about that in a moment. So I've just changed from one sport to another, dancing, then come home, got up Monday morning, and went to tennis again. So I'm not giving my body what it needs. If I'm not drinking enough water, not getting enough sleep, not mobilizing and stretching, I will end up, and I let that be a pattern I decide to adopt, which I will not, because the pain, the point of pain is to tell me, what are you not doing? Look at what you're doing and look at what you're not doing and put back in place what should be there. So that allows me to stop in its tracks. That's me clicking my finger. Me going down a road that I don't want to go down. But I have that awareness. And that's where we need to get to. That's what I like to share when I do the 60-day challenge. Because when you're doing that 60-day challenge, when we're going through things, we're looking at all the principles of optimal health so that you can see and you can identify for yourself which ones are not, you're not doing. Which ones are you not doing? Because if you're not doing what you need to do, you won't get what you want. So what I want to be able to do is have the vitality, the freedom of movement, the joy of movement, the flow, without having to get up and go, oh my God, I'm like an old woman, I can't move, and I'm older, but I'm an old woman, right? Unless I allow myself to become that old woman because I try to skip things. And that's what we do when it comes to our health, we skip things. So heart failure by 92%, that is massive. That's just madness. It's one of the biggest killers, so that's massive. So what we've got to do, and for a lot of people that took that poker into their arm, like number 1, 2, 3, 4, that myocarditis, the inflammation in the heart, is linked to that. But they're not telling you this stuff. But there's a lot of stuff, a lot of people having, you know, an increase in the size of their heart. So what you've got to be able to do is make sure your breath is good. Make sure your nutrition is good. You've got to look at anti-inflammatory foods. You've got to make sure your nutrition is better. You've got to get to a point where you've got to decide that that the more things you take in that acidify your body, the more you open the body up for things like cancer. They love an environment that lacks lacks oxygen. So if you're smoking, you've got less oxygen flowing around the body. If you're drinking excessively, you're more acidic in your body. If you don't like any greens and you only want to eat dehydrating foods, and you're eating, we say, foods, because there's many things that call themselves food that are not food, right? So you've got to look at what things are put into them. A friend of mine told me the other day, she says, there's a video of Jamie Oliver, and he'd gone into the schools, he looks at the nutrition in schools, and he'd gone into the schools and told the children that in chicken nuggets, they put bits of bone, they put bits of chicken, bits of waste, all the rubbish, they put it all into it, and they mix it up. And then he said, so who wants chicken nuggets? And apparently all the children put their hands up. They're not really understanding what's in that food. And I think, you know, I remember years ago my son said to one of my clients when she had him after school and took her children to Crap Donald's, and she asked him if he wanted anything. He's only 11 at the time. And he said, no thanks. And then about a minute later, he said to her, it's really bad the way parents force their children to eat such junk. I mean, I felt so embarrassed. I never told him that. That child comes out with some one lines. You know, children come out with one liners. She was just like, oh my God. And when she told me, I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I felt so embarrassed. Anyway, let's do this breathing technique that I mentioned, because this is really important. So what I would like you to do, if you're not in an office, if you're not driving, and you're at home and you're listening to this in the background, just stop what you're doing for just a couple of minutes. I just want you to just humour me. So what you're going to do, whether you're on your bed, you've got a mat, or just on the rug or on the floor, you're going to lay on your back, bend your knees, and put your feet flat. So you've got your knees bent and your feet flat. So your knees are up in the air, your feet are flat on the floor. And you're just laying on your back. You take your hands and you just place the fingertips together so they're just touching, that second finger's just touching across your belly button. And then all you're going to do, if you're just going to cough, you're just going to just cough. And when you cough, what do you feel happening to your tummy? Or if you laugh, what does your tummy do? Now you can find me on Instagram at Pelvic Secrets. I mean, I rarely go on Twitter. I'm on the same thing, at Pelvic Secrets. You could email me, pelvicsecrets@icloud.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn and Facebook, Jenny Russell. Juliet, you could find me on Facebook even. Sorry, just pause for a second. Juliet Echo, November India. Russell, Jenny Russell, double S, double L. So that was the first part. Now, the next one is to keep one hand on, so just put one hand, the palm across the belly button, and the other hand just above your chest, just put it up there. And then just take a deep breath in. Hold it at the top. And then take a nice deep breath out. So try that once more. Deep breath in. Hold at the top. And then breathe out. So how did that work for you? How did you find that? Because you see, I paused for quite a while. And each time I was pausing, it's really because I was counting. So what I was doing was, as I breathe in, it'd be my 4 seconds. It'd be here. Then I hold for four. Then I breathe out for eight. That breath isn't a strange breath for me. but for many people it's a strained breath. So 4 seconds in, 4 seconds hold, 8 seconds out. That can actually help to lower blood pressure. It can help to lower heart rate. It's an amazing way to breathe. But what happened when you were breathing in? What happened under your hands? What movement, if any, did you feel? That's your first one. Then you stand yourself up and you look into a mirror and you take a deep breath in and just do like 3 breaths in and out. What do you see yourself doing? Because how you breathe and what you see happening gives you an indicator of how you breathe. That tells you whether you're a breathless breather, less breath, or you are a breathing breather. And if you are a breathless breather, then any orthopedic issue you have or anything that happens to the extremities, the legs, below the belly button, anything around the pelvic floor and intimate health will always take longer to heal because your pump isn't working well. Your diaphragm isn't moving as freely as it should. Your organs are not getting their natural rocking motion, the motility, which gives them their vitality. And so therefore your pelvic floor isn't responding as it should do. So it's not giving you the ultimate support you need, which over time can lead to weakness, which can then lead to incontinence or prolapse or and all sorts of things. So there is a whole, the body is a system of systems and they're synergistically aligned. And so now is the time with reports like this for people to go, do you know what? The Lamborghini's outside, but really I am a Lamborghini. So maybe I need to invest as much into this Lamborghini itself as I do into the car I've got parked on the drive or the car I've got parked across the road in the garage or whatever. Maybe it's time to, you know, make my body as beautiful as my kitchen diner, you know, or my landscape garden. Maybe I should landscape my body. It's time for us to actually invest into our health, is what I'm saying. And that investment is, it will repay you dividends in the end, because it will give you what you need to be able to enjoy the pension you've had to pay for and pay into. Most of the time that pension was there because many governments are hoping you wouldn't live long enough to be able to enjoy it. But people are living longer. That's why we have a, that's another reason why we have a pension crisis, because they've gambled half your pension away and they were not expecting you to live long enough to enjoy it. The sad thing is people are living long enough, but they're not enjoying it. They're having to use it for private medical health care because if they don't, they won't get seen, because no one's getting seen these days. The waiting lists are so long. You end up using what you saved for your retirement to actually give you the freedom of movement so that you can move, so that you can enjoy your retirement. And this is why there's like, you know, people do this whole revamp and I feel like I got to do the same thing. I trademarked the Physical Pension Plan Investment Program. It's the second trademark now. It's repeated itself. So I'm going into 20 years of having this trademark. And literally, I did it from like 2009. So it was health and finance in harmony. Long before people were talking about health and finance in harmony. In 2009, I started Magnificent Monday, Trusting Tuesday, Wonderful Wednesday, Thoughtful Thursday, Fabulous Friday, Sensational Saturday, and Serene Sunday. And I used to post every day a message encouraging you around those days. So, you know, it's like I've got friends who are successful in business, but their health is poor. So my health is great. And I'm like, well, you know, if we put the two of us together, we'd be perfect. You know, I've got the health, you've got the finance. It's great. So it's about being able to understand that with the health, the finance can be made. But with the finance, the health cannot necessarily be bought. That's the difference. And once we start to look at those things, then we can sort of just like make an adjustment and decide for ourselves that we don't want these things. You know, we should be able to say, well, if it's about hydrating the body first and foremost, let me start with hydration. Diabetes is a lifestyle-induced disease. You know, it's when, you know, the overutilization of insulin to the point where the pancreas can't no longer manage it, and the cortisol levels as well. So, and that's also linked to not just the nutrition, but the stress, the lack of sleep. We've got to start looking at our health from a holistic standpoint. And so the next 60-day challenge starts on the 1st of August. Yes, I know it's literally 6 days, but people are going on holiday. I need to go on holiday. I need my money for my holiday. I need my money for this. I need my money. I understand that. But you also need some money for yourself. Because I want to be a grandma and a great grandma. That means I've got to make sure my vitality is there. I want to be able to, as I said, a wife in waiting, marry my husband in the next year or two and be able to have this great journey that we can go on. And, you know, I want to travel once the youngest has gone and he wants to go out about his business. I want to know I can go and take my work and do my talks abroad. You know, I want to go. So anyone in the United Arab Emirates, I'm here ready to do my talks. Bermuda, you know, the Bahamas, I want to go and deliver this message of hope for intimate health for women, you know, in Africa. I want to be able to do that freely. So I need to make sure I have the vitality for that. So this is really important to me. I just want to be able to move well. I want to be able to never be restricted by my movements, because I decided that the things that were minimizing my health, to me, I called them treats, were more important than the things that could give me the health that I need so that I can do what I want without having to rely on somebody else to have to help me. So let's play one more trail, and then we're coming towards the end of the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So I wanted to use this last 10 minutes just to talk about relationships and just how, as females, how it shows up in our body and what we can do that's different. Now, I know I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. And I just thought, you know, it might just be helpful to someone. What can a man get for a smile and a wink and a few choice words that cloud the way you think? You're connected, not committed, yet you give away all you have, your sexual identity, your confidence, and all you are for a night of passion and a memory that may not take you very far. He can shower you with compliments as if streets paved with gold, and get into your knickers with a simple story told. Yet what you have is precious, like a rare diamond to be found, for it is the key to love and life, where your true beauty abounds. So if you want commitment, remember, sex is just an act. Commitment is an action with a plan that backs it up. Commitment starts with communicating the thoughts that's in your head, your dreams and aspirations, and not first in your bed. Because a man that gets into your bedroom before he gets into your head is very rarely the man who will build a life with you or become the man you wed. And that was really about understanding that you can have the intimacy you want if that's all you're looking for. But if you're looking for so much more, then, you know, when we realize, you know, as I said, Gina, vibrantly appealing Gina, the most sought after girl I know, the entrance to a gateway that brings love, life and flow. Yet many underrate her and call her all kinds of names. Not understanding Gina may cause a life of hurt and shame. That feeling of intimacy, that ecstatic feeling that you get, that orgasmic feeling that you get, can just cloud your brain and your judgment and take you to a whole different place. But if you are after, and you know what kind of relationship you want for yourself, then understand Gina is a queen. It's Italian for queen. And a queen should be treated like such, like a queen. And, you know, there's not an audience with the queen. And that's what we've got to do. Stop giving Gina an audience. Just give her the man that will love her and care for her the way she should be. And so if follows that poem. And remember, I wrote If in 2009, and I wrote Connected, Not Committed, the one I just read, in 2017. But I believe that this precursor came way too early. My mum's favourite spoken word of mine, by the way. If I gave myself to you today, what would be left to give? My heart you're taking slowly, my mind you're clouding in. Inside a lust is burning, it grows every day. But lust is only temporary, the feeling could then slip away. By then, along with all that lust, my heart has followed through. And now it can be broken if you fail to follow too. So as much as I want to love you, as much as I care, I can only love you once I know you'll always be there. And there's two spoken words that I do love those. And I think to myself, we do need to be able to verbalize what it is we as females want for ourselves. But we need to know what it is we want. And even in our season of singleness, we need to understand who we are so that the man that is looking for us will find that same woman. He's trying to find who we are, but we need to know who we are for ourselves, because it's not a man that will come along that can complete you. You're complete already. And you know, the Bible says the two become one, but it doesn't mean that you're half a person and he's half a person. You're two complete people, but in your completeness you just merge together in that unit. And that's where we need to find ourselves. And many times we find that doesn't make sense to us. We're just like, what do you mean by, you know, the two become one? What do you mean by we need to merge and become this unit? That's what we need to be. We need to understand that as ourselves. So, you know, are you a patient person? Because we also, it says, you know, that a man will find himself comparable, or find a partner comparable to who he is. So are you a patient person? Because you'll find a comparable patient person that comes to you. But if you're a really impatient person, you may find a patient person, but you may make that person become impatient with you. So look at the things that you want, the things that you say you want in a relationship, because they have the potential to lock themselves inside your sex and reproductive organs. When you feel disappointed by what you don't get, when you hold on to and the anxiety because you cannot communicate what it is you desire or need, it has the potential to lock itself into your sex and reproductive organs. Your gut, that gut feeling, your gut, the digestive system is the mother system of the body. So when your stomach gets tied in knots, as we say, look at your digestive choices and also the environment in which you eat your food and digest it. Look at that, because honestly, that also plays a part in your relationship. Some people get into relationships and then they say they relax and they start to put on weight in relationships. It's not so much that we put on weights in relationships, but it's that we stop doing things that we were doing before, and we start eating things in more excess than we did beforehand. We start to indulge ourselves more in pleasures, but pleasures that can create pain later on for us down the road. So when we start to indulge ourselves into things that don't actually optimize our health, don't actually work towards optimizing our relationships, we are kicking the can down the road. And we are setting ourselves up to be in a position whereby the sickness of the relationship or the sickness of the physical body begins to manifest. The wife that has gone through a poor menopause experience, who has not linked it to the sum total of her decisions and choices that bring her into menopause, can become a different person altogether, that a husband no longer feels or finds as desirable as before. Within this new lady, the old lady exists, but not as she was or as he sees her. And as a consequence of that, the relationship starts to become the division in the relationship. So the intimacy is usually the first thing that disappears. And as a man who doesn't find his wife desirable intimately, he will open his eyes to what looks desirable external to his relationship. And ladies not always quite so quick to do that. But because the communication in that regard has broken down, because she no longer likes how she looks, she almost accepts that it's her fault she's no longer desirable to her husband. But now she's lost the touch and the intimacy, which you're not understanding the dynamics of what it means to her. And then when the stress of that hits her and the cortisol levels rise, it actually has the potential for her to gain weight rather than lose it, because now she's holding on because the cortisol is telling her the body it thinks it's got to fight or run away. So it's going to suppress the digestive system. And then if we're not looking at the nutritional choices, because the depression comes in and the anxiety, the water content goes down, the poor nutritional choices go up, the stress level stays up, and the self-fulfilling prophecy manifests out. She changes physically, emotionally, the relationship dynamics change, and the structure means that the relationship could have the potential to end up breaking down. She more than likely will feel more embittered because now she feels that, well, if he didn't find her desirable, who will? And so suddenly she becomes a different person. 1st of August, email me, pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. Find me on Instagram, @pelvicsecrets, Twitter, @pelvicsecrets. Jenny Russell, you can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn. You can call me on 07956-450-327. But I do hope that this week you found this show interesting. And remember, they say your body is your advert and you know it must be true. Each day it tells a story. Each day the story is new. You advertise your life, your health, and who and where you're at. And without a care for what it says, your advert could be flat. Until next week. In pelvic health and happiness. Stay blessed.